Good morning. Happy holidays. Ho, ho, ho.
And it's a great pleasure to have you, and we turn you over to the good doctor.
Well, thank you very much. I know that that is my title. So let me begin here. Governor, welcome.
Thank you, good doctor.
So let me ask you about this. Does the federal government shut down? How complicated is that? And how much money is it going to cost the state of New York, who you're stepping up to do some things that otherwise wouldn't have to be spent on?
It's tragic, the federal shutdown, but it's not highly consequential to the state. The main thing we did was the state stepped in to keep the Statue of Liberty open and Ellis Island open. We've done this in prior shutdowns also. Frankly, because it costs us money to allow them to shut down. The tourism revenue is about $1 million a day.
Wow.
The employees are about $60,000 a day. So far and away, it's to our economic advantage to keep it open. I also think it's important during the holiday season, people come to New York, they come to see the sights. And it's important at this dark time in our country to keep the torch on the Statue of Liberty lit, metaphorically. So I feel good about that. Other than that, we've gone through this before. We were prepared for it. And there's not a lot of operational difficulties. Obviously, some of the national parks and exhibits are closed, but it's not highly consequential. It's politically tragic, good doctor, because when you look at where this really is, you have the Democrats saying, I want border security. You have the president saying, I want a wall, right? That's the Scylla and Charybdis, as my father would say to you, the two evils that brought us to the shutdown. What is the difference between border security and a wall? Well, the president wants literally a wall. I'll tell you what my crystal ball says, because you see the president's migration. I want a wall. Well, it could be slats, steel slats. Yesterday he said it could be a fence. Okay, so now we have a wall to steel slats to a fence. And the Democrats are saying border security. What is border security? Well, it's a fence, and it's in some places, and it's sensors, and it's drones. Okay, so the final deal will be a fence in some places, sensors in some places, a wall in some places, and this is an agreement that the president should have been reasonable enough to make before this ever started. Well, I want $5 billion for the wall. The Democrats are saying 1.6 for border security. These are rounding errors. The president has about $3 billion that he hasn't even spent yet. So my guess is the president will, after the beating he's been taking here, he will migrate to. We're going to do it. It's a wall, a fence, slats, and sensors, and that's what I wanted all along, and he'll claim victory that he has his great barrier.
So let me ask you this. We did see that the president this very morning tweeted, apparently, we've gotten a lot of mail on this, that most of the people who were out of work were Democrats. Is that astounding or what?
It's sad. It's sad and tragic. That's why I used the word tragic before. It's holiday season. People are out of work. You add this anxiety to their lives, and then you have this cheap political motivation or theory that they're more Democrats. I mean, it's crass. It's ugly. And this is the president of the United States. This is a person who's supposed to be lifting us up. The president is the aspirational figure, and he's anything but. By the way, that's, I don't even know where he gets that from. It's probably another Trump fact, you know, who did somebody actually analyze the party enrollments of federal employees? I mean,
Here's a tough one. State Senator-elect James Scofis of the Hudson Valley will be the next chairman of the Senate Investigations and Government Operations Committee. He says he will use subpoena power to investigate state government corruption, including economic development programs. So is that something that you have to deal with, or is it something you're afraid of?
No, that's what oversight chair people do. They have subpoena power. They've done it in the past, and that's sort of the job of legislative oversight chairman.
So you don't feel that he's climbing on your shoulders in order to get ahead?
This is politics.
Yeah.
You know? This is Albany. I think with the legislature, it's going to be fairly straightforward this year, and I'm actually excited about it. You have a Democratic Assembly led by Speaker Carl Heastie, and they have been frustrated, as have I, for years. The Speaker rightfully points out that they passed all sorts of progressive legislation, and we got stymied by a Republican Senate for 7 years. I think we did phenomenally well with that Republican Senate. If I were to say to you they would pass marriage equality and the SAFE Act and minimum wage, I think that was much more than anyone would have expected from a Republican Senate. But we have not accomplished what we could accomplish with a Democratic Senate. Now we have a Democratic Senate. And I think this is now the next level of progressive achievement for the state. And I know Speaker Heastie very well. He believes, much as I do, that government is about making progress, right? Mm-hmm. It's about moving the ball down the field. It's President Johnson and President Clinton and it's FDR. Did you improve people's lives? Did you make a difference? Everything else is baloney, Alan. When they put you in a box at the end of the day, what did you actually accomplish for people? And I think you're going to see an unparalleled legislative session in terms of accomplishment. Voting rights agenda, a New York State Roe v. Wade, campaign finance reform. The Senate Democrats, who just came to power, they're going to want to prove functionality. We remember the last time we had a Democratic Senate, 2009, and a Democratic governor and a Democratic assembly. Nothing was done, sadly. So they're going to want to get things done also. They're going to want to preserve their majority and show they can govern. So they're going to also, they will want to get things accomplished and show that they can govern. So I think everyone's basically on the same page, and I think New York has a chance to really lead the nation at this time of turmoil and this time of ugliness by showing what you can do to make positive change. You know, there's no doubt that there's a lot of anger in the world and in this country and frustration. The president has fanned the flames of frustration, and he's used it politically and tactically. We want to say in New York State, yes, we feel that tension and that anger, but we want to use it to bring change that is positive and moves us forward. And that's what this legislature is going to do, I believe.
I want to return, if it's okay with you, Governor, to the pay issue for the legislature. I know you and I agree on something, which is that if you're going to raise the pay, they ought to agree, like the United States Congress does, not to take outside income. But Speaker Heastie and Leader Flanagan are now objecting to the ban on outside income. Now, they've gotten the pay raise already, so I'm a little confused. Does that mean that the recommendations on outside income are in effect, or aren't they?
Well, the commission, was consisted of real people, so to speak.
Sure.
Carl McCall, Tom DiNapoli, Scott Stringer, William Thompson, these are seasoned, independent people, which is what we put on the commission. And they were very educated, and they used their authority, and they came up with a package, pay raise, income ban, and Lulu reform. The Speaker Heastie's right when he says we never specifically discussed Lulus. But the commission came up with a package. The legislature likes some of it, doesn't like some of it. But they came up with a package. The raises go into effect. I think basically you accept the raise, you accept the findings. There'll probably be a court case because you have a conservative think tank that is fueling a lawsuit. But my two cents is, look, I don't like to spend money, and I especially don't like to spend taxpayer money when I don't need to. But the legislators didn't have a raise for 17 years. And you want to attract quality people. I have commissioners who could go out in the private sector and earn 10 times as much. I have commissioners who run multi-billion dollar agencies, commissioner of health, such an important position. I don't have right now what we pay a commissioner. It's almost laughable. So we need the raises to attract talent. And because it's hard to do raises for government employees politically, they haven't been done in over 17 years.
Yeah, but I think what you're telling me, Governor, I want to make sure I'm hearing this correctly, is if you took the raise, you have to quit your job. Is that right? The outside job.
The commission has a timeline, but what it says is we believe legislators should get paid more. And we believe it should be a full-time job with no outside income, so there are no conflicts, and
right.
the
but
public
they are,
is the
but,
only client.
But,
yes,
but they are getting the money as of now. Their paychecks are going to be raised. But do we know whether they will comply with the other parts of this?
Well, I think I can't speak for them. I don't believe there's a position where you say, I'm going to take the raise, but I don't follow the law. I think you could have people who say, I'm not taking the raise.
Send
I think
the
you'll
money
have
back.
People associated with the lawsuit saying, I'm not taking the raise because I don't agree with the commission.
Okay, so they get the paycheck. Tom DiNapoli sends it out, and they say, okay, this is much as my raise. I'm sending it back to the state. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, again, it's their individual decisions and their collective decision.
Okay.
I don't see a rationale to say, I'm taking the raise, but I disagree with the commission's report. You can't have it both ways.
Okay.
If you don't think it's legal, don't take the funds from an illegal act, right?
Yeah.
You have some legislators who support the lawsuit that says the act of the commission was illegal. All right, if the act of the commission was illegal, you can't then take the raise from the illegal act. You can't do it legally, you can't do it morally or ethically. So if you take the raise, then I think you are foreclosed from saying it was illegal. Those who believe the commission's act was illegal, I assume they will refuse the raise. Otherwise, there's no consistency to their argument. It's illegal, but I'm taking the money.
And speaking of my friend Tom DiNapoli, who I much admire, the question is, you know, the legislature, and you, sir, I think, took away the pre-audit function, you signed that, from DiNapoli. There are those people who feel that some of the corruptive things that have gone on in New York State could have been avoided if DiNapoli had that power restored. Are you going to restore it?
I don't believe a pre-audit. The pre-audit function never was proven to be effective at finding fraud. An audit doesn't do that. An investigation does that. You know, before any contract is signed, it's signed off by the controller and the attorney general, if it's of any consequence. But they say, and I signed off as attorney general on the contracts, and I was very leery about it because you don't really know what you're signing off on, right? You'd have to do a full investigation on that contract. And I was putting my signature on that contract. And the contract said the state is going to give a company X $1,000 to create X thousand jobs, and they're moving into a warehouse. And I don't know if any of that was true. So the sign-off by the attorney general is something called as to form. It says signed off as to form. And I said when I was attorney general, what the heck does that mean, as to form? And they said, well, all you're signing is that on the form it is complete. To go beyond that, Alan, to say I reviewed this contract, and I sign off on everything in this contract, you would have to do a real investigation first. Who owns the warehouse? Who owned the warehouse before? Who's going to receive the funds? Let's do a background check on that person.
No, I hear you, Governor, but I'm concerned about this because we have a separate controller in New York State. It's his job to do audits, and in my opinion, the law allowed him to do pre-audits. We don't know whether, in fact, certain corruptive things that have happened in government would have gone on and happened, but the fact of the matter is it's not sensible to me to take away that independent function. In fact, you have said, am I wrong about this, that I will appoint somebody to carry that forward working for me, and that, of course, violates this separateness.
Oh, look, if you, I have said, back when I was Attorney General and still, I would support a, if you want, pre-investigation phase where you have a random investigation of contracts as they are executed. So that warehouse contract is randomly selected from the 50,000 contracts we sign a year, and you actually do an investigation. So people know when you sign that contract, there's a check that you might be under investigation.
Yeah, but should that person be working for you or for an independent controller?
I think an investigation is done by the Attorney General's office.
Right.
It is not an audit function. Audit is what your accountant does. So I would go a step further than a pre-audit. I would support a pre-investigation phase. You can't investigate every contract, but where people know, like a tax return, I send this in, I might get audited.
Yeah, but wasn't the whole point, we're almost out of time, but wasn't the whole point here that if we had this pre-audit function, it would hold up the awarding of these contracts? Am I putting words in your mouth or in your mind?
No. The experience with the pre-audit function, in my opinion, was it did take a lot of time, and it didn't find fraud with any effectiveness, because that's not what it does. If you want to find fraud, which is the question, then do investigations. And then have the attorney general do investigations on contracts on a random basis so people know these things are being looked at. That's how you address fraud.
Okay. Are you convinced, sorry to be bothersome here, but are you convinced with Letitia James coming in as the new attorney general and your support of her that she will be sufficiently independent from you?
Yes. Yes, she is an independently elected person, and she's a fine quality person. So yes, 100%.
So now I just want to know about the minimum wage. It's going up in New York this week. What should people do if their employer, Governor, is not complying?
They should call the New York State Department of Labor. We have a hotline that is set up, actually, for this. Because as you point out, and as I was saying before, it ties back to how we started. Government is about making a difference in people's lives. You want to talk about a difference in people's lives. Downstate New York, the minimum wage, because of our actions, went from $9 to $15. That's from $18,000 a year to $30,000 a year. That is a life changer. That means your children have more to eat. That means your children have better clothes. It's a life changer. And the minimum wage goes up again this January 1, December 31, all across the state. Depending on where you are, it goes up different amounts. But that is all posted on the Department of Labor website. And if your check does not go up, you should go to the Department of Labor website immediately.
Do you have any predictions for me for this coming year? We only have 2 minutes. So do you have a major prediction? That's what we do on New Year's.
The most accomplished legislative session with positive progressive accomplishment for this state in 50 years.
That's quite a prediction. Governor Andrew Cuomo, I can't tell you how much we appreciate your being here and answering the tough questions. And you have been, by the way. I very much appreciate that. And we'll look forward to seeing you in the new year.
The good doctor. I'll be here. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Merry Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah to all your listeners.
And to you.
Thank you.